It is a pleasure to be here. This is my first time in Phoenix, and I've looked forward to this time for quite some time. I've tried to imagine what the congregation would be like, what the home surrounding would be like, and what I imagined was completely different. But what I was not wrong on was your love, your kindness. I feel comfortable being here in this local. I feel like one of you. And I think that's because each of us come from a common ground, a common root, and that of our Savior, Jesus Christ. My wife would have liked to have been here, but she recently changed jobs and was unable to get the time off. My wife and I, about a week before, about 10 days ago, we went shopping for some baking supplies. She got it in her head that she would bake and I would enjoy the goodies that she would make for the holiday season. And we were shopping for some of the condiments, and we were looking over sugar, and she needed quite a bit of sugar. And we were looking at a 25-pound sack, and we were looking at 10-pound sacks. And it was quite a bit cheaper to get that 25-pound sack, and she would come close to using that. But she looked at the 10-pound sacks, which were higher, and she said, "They're user-friendly." And I thought, sugar? User-friendly? But as I look at this pulpit, this is user-friendly. I like this a great deal. What I'd like to talk to you about, a brother during the prayer service spoke up during his testimony, and he said, we know of Jesus Christ, but do we truly know Jesus? And I thought about that, and that fit or tied in with the sermon I'd like to bring to you this day. To know of Jesus Christ or to know Jesus Christ. And what I'd like to look at are the two words that we use a great deal during this holiday season, a period of thanksgiving that this land enjoys and commemorates. And we go right into a period that we call Christmas time, a period of joy. You know, that means a great many different things to the people in this land. But it is a period of thanksgiving. It is a period of joy. And I thought about, if you'll turn to Alma, the 14th chapter. This is on page 401. Alma, the 14th chapter, page 401. And our brother this morning, he was talking about the sons of Mosiah, and before that, he was talking about Alma and how he established the church in the wilderness, and how that people were brought into the fold of Christ, the body of Christ. And later on in that reading, he didn't read it, but it talks about the waters of Mormon. And those that were laid into the waters of Mormon for that first time in the wilderness, it says, came to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, their Savior. And each of you that have been laid into the waters of baptism and have had hands laid upon you have come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And what I'd like to talk about this day is thanksgiving and joy, what they mean to each of us as members of this body of Christ, and how that each of us are called to a better understanding, a more fuller knowledge of Jesus Christ. Yes, we knew Jesus Christ coming out of those waters. And we knew Jesus Christ with hands laid upon, and that is knowledge. But I want each of us during this special season that we find ourselves in to seek to share Christ and our knowledge of Him, who He is, what He means to us. And in sharing, each of us will come to a better understanding. Our height and our depth will be increased. The length and the breadth of the love of Christ will be multiplied not only within us in giving, but to those that we give around us. Alma, the 14th chapter, starting with verse 124. And these are the words of Ammon. Yea, and my joy is carried away even unto boasting in my God. For he has all power, all wisdom, and all understanding. He comprehendeth all things, and he is a merciful being, even unto salvation, to those who will repent and believe on His name. I'd like to stop right there and say that this holiday season that we find ourselves in, for a great many people, is a lonely time of year. A lonely time of year. A sister bore a testimony about being in a period of depression, and if she allowed it, it would overtake her. It would be an inroad for Satan to come in and to manipulate, to drag her down. A period of depression, a period of loneliness. And people in the world find themselves in this situation. But you, with the knowledge of Christ, with that joy and thanksgiving that Ammon will shortly speak about, you have something special to share with those on the outside in the world. You have something to share with each other. For we need strengthening within the body of Christ. Ammon goes on to say, "Now if this is boasting, even so will I boast. For this is my life and my light, my joy and my salvation, and my redemption from everlasting woe. Yea, blessed is the name of my God, who has been mindful of this people, which are a branch of the tree of Israel, and hath been lost from its body, and in a strange land. Yea, I say, blessed be the name of my God, who hath been mindful of us wanderers in a strange land." Now, my brethren, we see that God is mindful of every people, in whatsoever land they may be in. Yea, He numbereth His people, and His bowels of mercy are over all the earth. God is mindful of all His creation, all His children, wherever He finds them. But you, the saints of God, He numbers and He knows. Ammon goes on to say, "Now this is my joy and my great thanksgiving. Yea, and I will give thanks unto my God forever." Amen. The words of Ammon. I'd like to turn next to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, and begin reading with verse 2. And these are the words of Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." You know, that's a greeting, isn't it? That's something that, if you greeted me with something like that, well, I'd be flabbergasted. I really would. We, as a general rule, do not use words that flow such as that. But each of you that greet each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, the feeling is there. The underlying love is there, such as Peter greeted the elect with. And he greets us in the same manner. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible." And pay special attention to these words, because in these words, there's hope. We have something to look forward to through our faith in Christ. Our faith in Christ. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." We find ourselves in temptations this day, don't we? We have temptations all around us. But there are ways that God has enabled us to avoid temptation, to escape temptation, to allow the power of Christ to pull us up and deliver us from that temptation. Each of us will go through these temptations. Each of us will go through afflictions and sickness and problems in this life, in this world. But God has provided a means whereby we may be supported, we may be delivered, we may be strengthened. First and foremost, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Through the avenue of prayer, the laying on of hands, which you witnessed this day. The body of Christ is a strengthening factor. The love that we have one for another. Verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, which perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Do you look forward to that day? The last day when Christ will make preparation to come. Will we know Him? Will we have joy within us and thanksgiving? Now is the time to prepare ourselves. We can have that joy and thanksgiving by coming to a greater knowledge of Christ. This reunion is a wonderful time, a time that we set aside to pull ourselves in from the world, leave our work behind us, the pressures, the cares. I let Jay and Chris worry about all that while I'm here. We care for each other. We pull together and we seek to draw close. But at the end of this period of time, and it will come to an end, we go back out into the world. But we take with us memories. We take with us the witnessing of thanksgiving and joy that you testify of and witness in your prayers, your testimonies, your witnesses, the preaching services. We take all these with us. But harbor them not to yourself. Share them with those that you love. Those that you come in contact with. Share them. Verse 8. Speaking of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. And that's the kind of joy I speak to this night. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Turn now to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled with the word of life. The apostle here is witnessing to all time and to us that he saw Christ, he talked with Christ, he was able to feel Christ in his presence. Spiritually and physically. And he seeks to share this of the word of life, even Christ. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and shew unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. A brother stood up and testified about receiving a sure knowledge of Jesus Christ through the Book of Mormon. You know, I received pretty much the same testimony. In reading the Book of Mormon, and I claimed that promise at the end to pray about it, to know of surety whether it was of God or not. And I received that same knowledge. That same knowledge. And in the Scriptures, the Bible, and the Book of Mormon, those that knew Christ, talked with Christ, walked with Christ, seek to share that same knowledge in greater strength with us through the written Word. And we have that joy. We have that thanksgiving to share with others. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes we may have to make the opening, but if we look and listen, God provides those openings. What seems to us a terrible tragedy to a man or a woman or even a child, our brother Don said, is an opportunity for God. An opportunity. And we as servants and handmaidens of God are here for that very reason. Not just to prepare ourselves, but to serve God, to choose to serve Him. Turn in the Book of Mormon to Mosiah chapter 1. This is on page 216. Mosiah chapter 1. I'm going to read just one verse, verse 96, and I'll skip over to verse 109. And these are the words of King Benjamin as he proclaims the word of God to his people. For the Lord hath heard thy prayers, the prayers of King Benjamin, and hath judged of thy righteousness, and hath sent me, and me is an angel of God, hath sent me to declare unto thee that thou mayest rejoice, and thou mayest declare unto thy people that they may also be filled with joy. The Lord God, in His great love, recognized the righteousness of one man and sent an angel to proclaim a message. And we have claim to that same message through the written word. An angel of God was sent. And we share that this day with each other. And it is not the only instance of an angel visiting with the Word of God. Skipping on over to verse 109. And the Lord God hath sent His holy prophets among all the children of men to declare these things to every kindred, nation, and tongue, that thereby whosoever should believe that Christ should come, the same might receive remission of their sins and rejoice with exceeding great joy, even as though He had already come unto them. Not only does the Lord God use angels to those that believe, to those that prepare themselves, but the Lord God sends prophets amongst His people to declare the same message. The Scriptures, angels, prophets. The Lord places all these within us. And that should cause a swelling of joy and thanksgiving. Joy and thanksgiving. Mosiah chapter 9, page 259. And in this reading, beginning with verse 38 through 42, it talks about the people that were laid into the waters of Mormon, that came to a knowledge of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But prior to that, they entered into a covenant with their Savior, Christ. And they not only entered into a covenant with their Savior, but they made a promise to each other. Now, as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called His people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses of God at all times, and in all things, and in all places that ye may be in, even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God, and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. Now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your heart, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord as a witness before Him that ye have entered into a covenant with Him, that ye will serve Him and keep His commandments, that He may pour out His Spirit more abundantly upon you? Now when the people had heard these words, they clapped their hands for joy and exclaimed, "This is the desires of our heart." And I trust that each of you, when you entered in, that was your same desire. To share, to bear, to mourn, to sorrow, but to be there in times of joy and thanksgiving for each other. And brothers and sisters, we do that within the Church of Christ. I've seen it. That brings joy and thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, without turning to it, it also talks about the body of Christ as it was established by Christ. And it points out the fact that not all of us are equal. Not all of us are the same. There are some of us that have strength. There are some of us that are weak. And it is the duty of those that have a strength, a talent, a skill, to reach out and to help those that are weaker, that stand in need. And it says that those that are weaker in time become comely. Not because we've changed them, but because the indwelling Spirit, Jesus Christ, has made a change in their lives. Because we have given them opportunity to be refreshed, to share what we know, to share the joy and the thanksgiving that we have within us if our desire is right before God. Turn in the Book of Mormon to page 80. Second Nephi, chapter 1, verse 34 through 38. In our prayer and testimony this morning, a great many parents stood up, testified of their children. Sometimes problems they have with their children. Sometimes joys that they have in their children. But they're all hopeful for their children in Christ. Lehi was the same way. He was a parent that loved all his children. And we, on the back wall as you go in to eat, you see his children listed there. A couple of them have frowns on their face. Laman and Lemuel. And Lehi here addresses them. Verse 34. But behold, his will be done, for his ways are righteousness forever. And he hath said that inasmuch as ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land. But inasmuch as ye will not keep my commandments, ye shall be cut off from my presence. And now that my soul might have joy in you, and that my heart might leave this world with gladness because of you, that I might not be brought down with grief and sorrow to the grave, arise from the dust, my sons, and be men. And he could have very well said at that time, arise, my daughters, from the dust, and be women. Sometimes it's not easy looking at your children and seeing the wrong in them. And as Lehi did, addressing them with that challenge to arise, to stand up in their strength, to seek to shake the dust from them, to put on that which is right. That's not easy to do for a parent. But Lehi here did it. Arise from the dust, my sons, and be men, and be determined in one mind and in one heart, united in all things, that ye may not come down into captivity. And that captivity, whether it be and a sore cursing that it speaks about, is not the same here. But the captivity and the sore cursing comes upon those that have not Christ. The captivity and the sore cursing comes upon those that place themselves outside of the fold or the body of Christ, that have not His strength to draw upon, that have not your love to draw upon. There is a sore cursing, and there is a captivity. And also that ye may not incur the displeasure of just God upon you, unto the destruction, yea, the eternal destruction of both soul and body. Awake, my sons, and put on the armor of righteousness. And a sister testified of the armor of righteousness, putting on the armor of Christ. And how that even in times when you are helpless in physical and spiritual strength, if you seek to put on that armor, if you seek to call upon Christ, there's strength there. And that should cause joy and thanksgiving within all parents' heart, all grandparents, all that love children. Turn to Alma, the 21st chapter, page 479. Page 479. Alma, the 21st chapter. And in this reading here, starting with verse 132, the first time I read the Book of Mormon, I liked this man, Moroni. I truly did. Would that within this nation of ours, within this world of ours, there were more men and women such as Moroni. Verse 132. And Moroni was a strong and a mighty man. He was a man of a perfect understanding. Yea, a man that did not delight in bloodshed, a man whose soul did joy, his soul did joy in the liberty and the freedom of his country and his brethren from bondage and slavery. Yea, a man whose heart did swell with thanksgiving to his God for the many privileges and blessings which he bestowed upon his people, a man who did labor exceedingly for the welfare and safety of his people. Would that we had leaders within our nation like this, within our state, within our counties, within our cities. But brothers and sisters, as we lend ourselves to Christ, as we allow the knowledge of Christ to grow within us, there will be men and women such as this. There has to be within this church of Christ. Verse 134. Yea, and he was a man who was firm in the faith of Christ, and he had sworn with an oath to defend his people, his rights, and his country, and his religion, even to the loss of his blood. Verse 139. And his heart did glory in it, not in the shedding of blood, but in doing good, in preserving his people, yea, in keeping the commandments of God, yea, and resisting iniquity. You do not have to be a leader of a nation or of an army to do this very thing. To seek to do good, to preserve His people, the Lord's people. Seek to keep the commandments of God and to resist iniquity. That starts with you and I. That starts with you and I. Verse 140 says, yea, verily, verily, I say unto you, if all men had been and were and ever would be like unto Moroni, behold, the very powers of hell would have been shaken forever. Think about the change that Christ makes in your soul and my soul, in us, physically and spiritually, mentally, temporally. The very powers of hell would have been shaken forever. Yea, the devil would never have power over the hearts of the children of men. Turning back to Alma, the 15th chapter, 406. Alma, the 15th chapter, starting with verse 48. And in this we find that after there has been a great battle amongst the Lamanites and the Nephites also seeking to protect a group of individuals that have come from the Lamanites over, have come from being apart from God to being as close to God as they can. And we call them the anti-Nephi Lehis. And it says that they were a zealous people, zealous towards their God, and honest and forthright with their fellow men. The Lamanites sought to kill them. The Nephites defended them. And there was loss of life on both sides. Thousands, tens of thousands slain. Verse 48. Yea, and many thousands are mourning for the loss of their kindred, because they have reason to fear, according to the promises of the Lord, that they are consigned to a state of endless woe. There were those that were apart from God, and they had reason to fear for their loved ones. While many thousands of others truly mourn for the loss of their kindred, yet they rejoice and exult in hope. Yea, and even know, according to the promises of the Lord, that they are raised to dwell at the right hand of God in a state of never-ending happiness. Now that's one of the great hopes that we have within the Church of Christ. When a loved one passes on, yes, we mourn. Yes, we sorrow. We miss them. But we also have a hope within us and a joy and a thanksgiving that they have crossed over to the other side and that they are in a state of paradise, happiness, no sorrow. They are cared for in every way to make them happy and comfortable. And those of our loved ones that have passed over to the other side, that have been prepared, have looked forward to that. And it makes that parting easier. Verse 50, "And thus we see how great the inequality of man is because of sin and transgression. One group sorrows and mourns and has no hope. Another sorrows and mourns but has hope within them. The inequality of man is because of sin and transgression." Sin and transgression. Lehi the parent said, "Arise and shake off." "And the power of the devil, which comes by the cunning plans which he hath devised to ensnare the hearts of men." A sister said that one apparition was good looking, easy to look upon. But then he changed. And the devil starts out that way, to ensnare the hearts of men and women and children. But he's there to ensnare. Verse 51, "And thus we see the great call of the diligence of men to labor in the vineyards of the Lord. And thus we see the great reason of sorrow and also of rejoicing. Sorrow because of death and destruction among men, and joy because of the light of Christ unto life." Alma goes on to say, "Oh, that I were an angel." And he desired to be able to shout as with a trump to the whole world, to point out this inequality, to point out the hope that he had in Christ, to point out the disparity, the mourning, the sorrow, there because of sin and transgression. He desired this. But then he goes on and he says, "I have to trust in God. I'm only a man." And I submit to you, brothers and sisters, that each of you as men and women in Christ have the same commission as did Alma, to spread one-on-one. We can't shout as a trump, but we can seek to share one-on-one the hope, the love, the joy, and the thanksgiving that we have within us, with those that we love, those that we don't know. Hebrews, without turning to it, chapter 12, verse 2. Our brother read that, verses 1 and 2. Verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand the throne of God." He did all this for one reason, for the joy that was set before him. Turn, if you will, to Mosiah chapter 8, page 251. And in this, I believe we find the joy that was set before Christ, the joy that enabled him to endure the cross, despising the shame, to give up his life, the joy. Verse 35, "And thus God breaketh the bands of death, having gained the victory over death, giving the Son power to make intercession for the children of men, having ascended into heaven, having the bowels of mercy, being filled with compassion towards the children of men, standing betwixt them and justice, having broken the bands of death, taking upon himself their iniquity and their transgressions, having redeemed them and satisfied the demands of justice." And I want you to pay special attention to those words in verse 36 and 37. Having ascended into heaven, having the bowels of mercy, being filled with compassion, standing betwixt them and justice, having broken the bands of death, taking upon himself their iniquity and transgressions, having redeemed them and satisfied the demands of justice. Christ has already accomplished all that. Already accomplished all that. And why did he accomplish that? What was the joy that was before him? Verse 38. And now I say unto you, who shall declare his generation? Behold, I say unto you that when his soul has been made an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. When he allowed himself to be crucified, to be scourged, to be mocked, to be spit upon, to be despised, when he made that offering, it says that he shall see his seed. And now what say ye? And who shall be his seed? Behold, I say unto you that whosoever hath heard the words of the prophets, yea, all the holy prophets which have prophesied concerning the coming of the Lord, I say unto you that all those who have hearkened unto their words and believed that the Lord would redeem his people, and having looked forward to that day for remission of their sins, I say unto you that these are his seed, or they are heirs of the kingdom of God. For these are they whose sins he hath borne. These are they for whom he hath died, to redeem them from their transgressions. And now, are they not his seed? Are you not his seed? That should cause within us the same joy and thanksgiving as Ammon was welled up from within. It said that joy and thanksgiving was so great that he was overcome of his physical strength and he fell to the earth. And the Book of Mormon says that only those that are truly penitent and humble achieve that. Only those who are humble and penitent achieve that. Turn to Luke, the 24th chapter. Luke, the chapter 24. And in this chapter we find Christ has already suffered the cross. He's already been buried. There 3 days. But he was resurrected. Everything he promised came about. Resurrected. And then down towards the bottom in verse 13, it says that two of the disciples, and I'm not sure about that village, Emmaus, he met them there. And he walked with them a distance. And he talked with them. And he shared with them as they went along. And in verse, Christ said unto them, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? They were lamenting the fact that their Lord was no longer with them. They had a love for him. They had a desire for him. And they missed him. They mourned him. And Christ said, what kind of talk is this? Why are you sad? And he continued on with them and continued to talk with them and to share with them. And down in verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart. And I think he said that with all the compassion that Christ can muster. All the compassion and love. O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, all that is contained within the scriptures, all that has pointed to Jesus Christ. Christ said, how can you miss it? How can you miss that point? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Christ entered into something far more glorious than the life he lived and breathed and walked here. He entered into glory with his Father. And in coming together with his Father, there is a special togetherness. I don't understand it, but it is a special glory. The Father and the Son. And Christ sought to point this out. And he continued walking with them and talking with them. And he was about to go on talking, and they said, let's stop and take a breather. Let's rest. And he broke bread with them, and he blessed it. And then they recognized him. He recognized of them. And it says that these two disciples, followers of Christ, raced back to Jerusalem and met with the 11 and sought to share what they had found and stumbled upon their Lord, their Savior, their Redeemer. And they shared this story with them. And Christ appeared to them. In verse 38, and he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. They were afraid of him in the beginning, a spirit. But he sought to show them that he was the same that they loved, that they cherished, that they missed, that they mourned for. Verse 41. And while they yet believed, not for joy, and wondered. And while they yet believed, but not for joy, and wondered. They had a strength within them, the 11 and the other followers of Christ that were there. They had a strength within them. They had a firm love of Jesus Christ. They loved him. They had a firm desire for Christ to be with them once again. And they were strong in that. Strong in that. But they were weak. They were weak in faith. They were weak in hope. And it was that joy that Christ sought to point out. Why don't you have that joy deep within you? That spirit of thanksgiving, knowing that all I came here for and walked and talked and breathed and bled and died for is accomplished. I've been resurrected. My glory is with the Father. All that I have promised is in store and ready for you. Why don't you have that joy? They were strong in love and desire, but they were weak in faith and hope. And I speak to myself as I speak to you. I think we're weak also. We know of Christ, and we love Him. We know of Christ, and we desire Him. But do we truly know Christ? Truly know Christ? A close proximity with His Spirit, an indwelling of that Spirit. Do we have that hope before us and that faith ever present within our lives? We're weak. And we come together at reunions and we're strengthened. And that's good. There is a weakness within man, an inherent weakness. We need reunions. We need the prayer and the love of the body of Christ. But most of all, we need a joy and a thanksgiving within all of us at all times. The love of Christ within our hearts. His love. Turn to 2 Nephi. I'm like my brother, I prepared way too much, but I've accomplished, I think, all that the Lord placed upon my heart. 2 Nephi chapter 6, page 108. This is part of Jacob's speech, and starting with verse 41 and reading through verse 48. Oh, the greatness and the justice of our God. For He executeth all His words, and they have gone forth out of His mouth, and His law must be fulfilled. In Isaiah, what does it say of the Word of God? It is one eternal round. When He sends it out, it will accomplish all that He has sent it out for. And you and I are part of His seed. You and I are part of that eternal round as we come closer to Christ. As we truly come to know Him, we are part of that. Verse 42. But behold, the righteous, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they which have believed in the Holy One of Israel, they which have endured the crosses of the world, there will be hard times, and despise the shame of it. They shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, and their joy shall be full forever. Their joy shall be full forever. That is our hope. That should be part of our faith, to have our joy full forever. Oh, the greatness of the mercy of our God, the Holy One of Israel. For He delivereth His saints from that awful monster, the devil, and death, and hell, and that lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Oh, how great the holiness of our God! For He knoweth all things, and there is not anything save He knows it. And He cometh into the world that He may save all men, if they will hearken unto His voice. For behold, He suffereth the pains of all men, yea, the pains of every living creature, both men and women and children, which belong to the family of Adam. And He suffereth this, that the resurrection might pass upon all men, that they might stand before Him at the great and judgment day. And He commandeth all men that they must repent and be baptized in His name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. Thank you.